lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we saw last week where the sons of God in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, and we covered the fact those sons of God were not the same as the sons of Shem. They were different. Those were angels. And from those unions, they begot mighty men of old, men of renown. And verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit, because of that union, because they went after strange flesh, those angels left their first habitation, they left their estate, and began to defile the seed. The Lord said, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And that is introducing the time of long suffering that God had determined to wait. And he's waiting for those people, whoever may respond, to respond in faith that they might be a participant in the a recipient of the long suffering of God in a positive way. While Noah is preparing an ark, while he's preparing the inhabitants of the ark, God is waiting for whoever hears the preaching of Noah to respond. And that's where we'll pick up at verse, let's go back to verse 6 and 7. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And you guys may remember this some time ago. I asked the question, did Noah walk with God because he was perfect, or was he perfect because he walked with God? Johnny said number two. I guess what I'm getting at, the question is, did God make Noah walk with him? No.
No.
He always, all, if the angels have a choice and Adam had a choice, all men have a choice to accept or reject whatever they hear in God and got from God's word, whether it's by a vision at the time or a revelation they have. Men always have a choice. God has always wanted a willing participant. We know that, don't we? From the day we've gotten saved, have we always done the things that God has wanted? Have we always responded correctly?
No.
And we have the Holy Spirit. And we grieve the Holy Spirit, don't we?
Every day.
Every day. And he's still there. And God's still waiting. This is part of our focus is how Noah fits into God's plan and how it affects us. Remember, these three men, you have Adam, you have Noah, and you have Christ. What are those three men, just off the top of your head, what do they have in common?
They're male.
That's true. Come on, Blake, work with me.
Sinners.
They're what?
Sinners.
You said sinners?
Yeah.
Image.
Yes. I thought, say it again. Not Blake. Blake said sinners, but.
Image.
That's right. Adam was created in God's image. We'll get to this. Noah is also introducing the image. And then you have Christ, who is the image.
Well, each was the beginning of a type, too. Adam was the beginning of mankind. Noah was what went into the new beginning after the flood, and Christ was the new covenant. That's also true.
I think we're in agreement with that. We're pretty much on the same page. So let's look at this here. Genesis chapter 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. With all the corruption, with all the iniquity that's around Noah, surrounding him, and this is another reason why it talks about the godly seed, is somewhat accurate, because coming through Noah's lineage, those men walk with God. Those men remain connected to God, I would say. And Noah is the culmination of that line. And all the men around him begin to be corrupt. That's why this, in verse 9 it says, Noah was perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So he is amongst all that, all the iniquity, Noah was separated. Noah was perfect in the sense where he had a faith walk with God. He's the one that God uses, and not against his will. He goes willingly. Verse 11, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So you have specific dimensions that God has prescribed to Noah, and I was, this is something I read in a, it was kind of like a secular book that was just commenting on this passage, that those dimensions that Noah was prescribed to build the ark on a larger scale are duplicates of a casket. And that's what, and that's really what an ark is. It's a chest. And in Genesis, I believe it's 49 or 50, it's a coffin. When they put Joseph in the coffin, let me see if I can find that. The Genesis, I believe it's Genesis chapter 50. Yes, Genesis chapter 50. Verse 19. When Joseph is dying, let's read this. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them, unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Maseir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. That's the same word for ark. We'll talk about that when we get to Joseph. But in this case, I was speaking about the dimensions of the ark, where God has told Noah specifically to build this, and the ark being a type of Christ. You can imagine that God is foreshadowing or typifying the death of Christ, even back here. And he gives him specific dimensions. Now, the other items on there, we're not so focused about the dimensions on the windows and the three stories, etc. But what we want is verse 17 and 18. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein there is breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Now we can see that this theme is almost a duplicate, a reset of Genesis. And we'll find out when Noah gets out of the ark, he's instructed to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish the earth. Now, something interesting. Do you know that in most every culture, there is a flood account?
Yes.
And in every culture, there is also a Genesis account.
Yes.
Now, and then if you know that, then you know that in those accounts of the Genesis account and also of the flood account, that things are quite different. They talk about different outcomes. So what I'm saying that because some of the Genesis accounts, there is not just Adam and Eve, there's others. And in the Genesis account, there's not just eight people. There's some of them have more people. The point is, as we look at Scripture, you have to decide, we do, as we read these things, we have to decide if the outcome is consistent with what we're reading. Because
the Sumerians, how you say it, Mesopotamians, the records of those, many writers feel like that was the original story and everybody else copied it simply because those were the oldest records discovered. So that's not relevant necessarily, but that is an argument that people use to nullify what we believe. So anyway.
That's the point. It is relevant because these issues are going to come up. They've come up and they're going to continue to come up. I'm saying that just for this purpose here. And I was talking to Karen about this. We have the responsibility to investigate the things that you believe. We have free will. We have been equipped with a mind to discern these things, to check these things out. If we don't, then the outcome, God is not accountable when he has put information out there for us to weigh these things out. For example, he put them in the ark to keep them alive, everything after their kind, everything, verse 20, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every living, every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Now, if we know nothing else, we can look around and see, even today, 2023, everything still produces what? After its kind. Male and female. So automatically, if I don't believe anything else in that account, I know from the Genesis account and even from the Noahic account that something is consistent after those two events, that things still continue to reproduce after their kind, male and female. So that has some credibility for me. Those are for people that say, well, you came from some laboratory experiment from outer space people or aliens or some other story that conflicts with what we're reading. So some things you can rule out right away.
It does say that men will believe fables rather than the truth.
And spermia.
Yeah, so you can see that's the story. If you can't prove it with science, it's a fable. Therefore, the Bible's a fable. And we know that's exactly the opposite. It's not, you know, it tells us that there will be fables, and there are. And you don't have to defend when somebody wants you to believe a fable versus the truth. I don't even go there, so.
And my whole point is for us to do, you know, do some discerning, do some investigation, and just don't let anybody tell us anything, especially when you're looking at evidence that's contradicting what they're proposing to you. You know, some things, like David said, you don't even have to consider those things. So,
Safe and effective.
I'm sorry?
I said like safe and effective.
Yeah. Okay. Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. 40 days and 40 nights is supposed to rain. It's going to rain. And Noah went in with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Verse 16 says this, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Being a type of Christ, you can see the security that Noah was, I would say he was just along for the ride. his safety and security was established. The Lord shut him in. And the flood, 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth, and the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and only Noah remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. 150 days. That's 5 months.
Yeah. There's one other thing I want to ask Frank real quick. I'm sure that Noah had other children as well. We only have records of those. So it must have been those that of his children that believed, which is in line with what we know from what Paul taught about believing for salvation. So another thought, there's no writing about that, but it would be, if you're going to be that old, it's hard to believe you didn't have more children than just three. So just an idea.
Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And this goes back to our statement that God has always wanted a faith response. And he won't force anybody to believe him. He won't force anybody to serve him. The choice has always been voluntary. Otherwise, being the conformed to his image doesn't mean anything because you're just a robot and you're being made to do what he wants you to do. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now, this is Peter. He's speaking to his readers about their responsibility to stay committed to God's word and to be a good example. In other words, to walk in faith despite of the persecution. Verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, who is, read this last one, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Peter is given an account of the response in Noah's day that a few, only eight souls, had a good conscience. Only eight souls responded to the long-suffering offer from Noah in that day. Only a few, only eight, he says, were saved. And he's comparing that to where he is. He says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Peter said to his listeners that, I'm going to skip the parentheses here. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth now also save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saves, I'm saying us, I'm just grouping myself with Peter. Baptism saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he adds, I'll go back and pick up the parentheses now, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Now, back in when Christ was on earth, the initial requirement was to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That was not optional. Well, let me take that back. It was optional, but that was the requirement. Because they have choices, just like all men have choices, it was optional to make that choice. But the other option, Matthew chapter 3. Keep Peter. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. That's what a good conscience would do. Is agree with God. God says, you are a sinner. You need to change your mind and be baptized. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come out to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. What's the baptism for? Repentance. Repentance means change of mind. The change of mind is to result in a change of behavior. If you really change your mind, you should change your behavior. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Gathering his wheat into the garner, that's a type of the believers. Burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire is a type of the judgment. So, did Christ gather his wheat into the garner before he died?
No.
Well, when he left the 120 in Acts, what's that?
Well, that was after he died.
Well, they were waiting for him after his what? Resurrection. So they followed him all the way up until his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what Acts says, that they waited for him. He told them to wait. So after his resurrection, then you get the unquenchable fire. But what I'm getting at is this. You have Acts chapter, hold your hand again, Matthew. Acts chapter 1.
Fear not, little flock.
Yes. Now, what's the connection here? And this is to confirm the principles that God lays down. Excuse me. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. He showed himself alive after his passion. That's resurrection. Being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse where he says, and the number of those men, chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names, this is in parentheses, the number of names together were about what? Verse 15.
120.
120. Now, this is the number for the remnant. So when David mentioned that only 8 responded, that was the remnant back then. That's why Peter says in that day, only a few, 8 souls were saved. In this day, the remnant was being about 120. That's why Noah, is his preaching is 120 years, that he could bring out the remnant of those that would believe in his day. Now, unfortunately, it was only 8. In this day, the remnant, when it begins with this, with these people here, and it begins to extend, that's what the Acts period is. It's an account also of a remnant being pulled out through God's long suffering. It begins with the apostles and that little flock of believers, and it extends with the salvation of Paul all the way out, which those are previous lessons. We don't need to rehash that. So back to Peter, or let's see, back to Matthew first. Matthew chapter 3. The baptism of John was for them the answer of a good conscience. God says, you're a wicked and adulterous generation. Believe him, repent, and be baptized, and you are now in the believing remnant. You are exempt from the unquenchable fire. You're exempt from the wrath of God to come. Peter says that the like figure that baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. See, baptism to them, it meant a cleansing. It meant a purifying. They could only see past the fleshly ritual of it. But for God, it was something a little deeper than that. It was a spiritual cleansing, a spiritual purging that would put them in line for the real thing, the real purging from their sins. And a good conscience would respond. Peter says this. So First Peter 3:18. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also, by the Spirit, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, this is back in Noah's day. Now, Christ, I know it may be, you may have heard that Christ went down to preach to the angels in prison. I don't see that verse saying that. Christ, the Spirit of Christ, was in Noah in that day, and Noah preached to those disobedient people back there. And he says, he preached to the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Do you think Noah preached to the angels back there to repent? Do you think Noah?
No.
He preached to those men back there who were disobedient that God's wrath was coming upon this evil and wicked generation, and they had 120 years that they are to either get in or suffer the wrath of God. And Peter says that while the ark was preparing, the like figure whereunto baptism does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. A good conscience will always believe what God tells them to do.
Also during that time, as well as I remember, that the knowledge of God filled the earth at that point. So all these people on the earth knew who God was, but they chose not to follow or be participatory with what God had led them to know as true. So that it wasn't like they were ignorant of any means. They were all fully accountable for what was going on. And Noah told them they better get serious. And they blew him off saying, well, you know, I don't know who God is anymore. He ain't been around in a long, long time. You know, so it was the age of conscience. And that is part of what I think we will see in this age when it talks about as it was in the days of Noah. It won't be because people didn't know God. It'll be because they don't care. And I think that was what Noah was preaching about, was reminding them that there is a God and that they are subject to him. And so it didn't necessarily have to go out and start with, yes, there's a God. They deliberately and wholeheartedly blew him off, blew God off and Noah. So, I mean, it was very, very, I believe, very clear that they knew exactly what was going down.
Thank you for that comment. Before, when you look at accounts of the wrath to come, there's always a mocking, so to speak, prior to that, like a disbelief. That's not going to happen. And Peter says, where is the promise of his coming? They'll be mocking in that day. David made reference to that verse. They were eating and drinking until the day that the flood came and took them away. everything's fine until the deal goes down, and this is what Noah he's preaching. Let me read one more verse before we go back to Genesis. This is First Peter chapter 1, verse 10. First Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, I read that verse because the prophets prophesied by the Spirit of Christ that was in them. So what do you think that Noah, being a prophet of God, what do you think Noah was prophesying or preaching with in his day? His own resources or the Spirit of Christ which was in him? You think Noah was running on his own energy, on his own spirit back here? No. God empowered him to do that job, not just to build an ark, but also to preach in that day. God empowered him. He did all according to the Lord commanded him. Hebrews chapter 11. Noah is in the hall, what they call the hall of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He did this by faith. That means he heard from God. It says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. He condemned the world by the ark, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And we're going to see what his how that inheritance worked out in another lesson. But Noah condemned the world by the ark because he moved with faith and built this ark. He believed God, and the ark is a type, Peter says, of the resurrection of Christ. He says this baptism does save us by the resurrection of Christ. Let me see if I can say that better. Just like the answer of a good conscience would get baptized, what the baptism did in Peter's day was line those believers up to receive the Spirit and deliverance through Christ after his resurrection. Remember in Acts 19, Paul ran into some believers. I'm going to turn over there real quickly here. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We haven't as of yet even heard about a Holy Ghost to come. Sound familiar? We haven't heard, Noah, of yet of anything called rain. Where'd you get that rain concept from? I remember when I would go to church at my grandmother's, I used to see a sign. I may have told you guys this before. It was posted up in the front by the pulpit, and it was a sign that says, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And I used to see that sign all the time, and I would wonder, what is the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? Because at that time, I didn't know whether there'd be any Holy Ghost. I didn't know what that meant. So it was a safe bet to me to say, I haven't. So I never heard of it. Well, here's these men here. He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. What is the Holy Ghost and the baptism connecting them? When Paul says, Unto what then were ye baptized? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then what were you waiting for? They said, Unto John's baptism. Okay. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm saying that to go back to Genesis. When Noah's preaching by the Spirit of Christ, the water of wrath is also the same water of deliverance for Noah. It could be to those hearers. It could be their means of deliverance, or it could be the means of wrath. The choice is yours. While Noah's preaching, he's saying that you are to believe me, what I'm saying, because the wrath is coming. The water of wrath is coming. The water of judgment is coming. And we just read a verse where you either, by the preaching, you either save them that believe or you condemn them that don't believe. That's how Noah's preaching went. It was either a saving message or a condemning message. And Noah, as he preaches, they have that 120-year time span to respond to the preaching. And that figure of deliverance by water is equated to the baptism that those people received, and it connected them with the resurrection of Christ. Remember when, and I'm getting a little sidetracked, remember when those men were walking on the road of Emmaus from Emmaus, and they were sad. And the Lord says, What manner of communications are these that you are so sad? I'm paraphrasing that. And they said, Luke, let me go back to Luke. Luke chapter 24:14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So the third day, you think they would be happy anticipating the resurrection, right? Nope. They were sad, wondering. We thought it was him. We hoped it was him. Because hanging on his resurrection, hanging on his rising from the dead, hanging on all that was their trust and their hopes that he would redeem Israel. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now save us. They had identified themselves by the baptism with the Messiah in hopes that he is him. Same way, Noah is putting forth this ark as a means of escape for those people back there to trust in what he's saying through the Spirit of Christ and be delivered. And unfortunately, like most preaching, you only have a few believers. It's a shame that only 8 people responded in Noah's day. And as we continue in our day, 2 Timothy, and we'll close up on this, 2 Timothy, with the events that have happened so far, I say the events, the pandemic and all these other worldly distractions, that all little quibbles and spats, political issues that we're getting into now, preaching is almost, from what I see, it's almost non-existent gospel. The gospel, you don't hear that much. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Sounds like maybe some of those people were displaying this back in Noah's day. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Same thing David said a few minutes ago. In this time, we are becoming more and more open as a people to any lie that's told, spiritual, secular. As long as it suits my purpose, then I can adopt it. If I like it, I'll wear it. If I don't, I won't take it. If it helps me get ahead, I believe it. If it doesn't, I don't like it. All our objectivity is it doesn't matter. If facts are put before us, it doesn't matter. If the gospel, we just saw that male and female reproduced after their kind, that these men were told to replenish, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And even in 2023, we are still reproducing everything after its own kind. And yet, we refuse to believe the scriptural account. We'll put anything up in its stead because that's what suits our purpose. That's what suits our agenda. As more and more time increases, we will get farther and farther away. But our responsibility is still to, as Paul says, is still to preach the word in season, out of season. Today, nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to hear this gospel. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. not nonetheless Paul's gospel.
Well, I think we all want to be our own God. And that's what the days of Noah was about. Each person was their own God. Therefore, they didn't need the real God. Today, if I want to be my own God, then there cannot be a Christian God. Because that takes that ability away. So if I want to decide for myself what's true, which we hear all the time, if I want to be able to follow hedonistic ideas outside of the bounds of the Bible, then I can't believe in Christianity. If I think God is love, then I cannot have justice in a God either. So today, a lot of these ideas are mutually exclusive. Even our own Constitution was based on God-given rights, not government rights. So we could be called insurrectionists if we believe that rights come from God. So all of this must have been going on in its own way in the times of Noah. And to be outside of that must have made you a laughingstock and ridiculed and all that other good stuff, building a boat when it had never rained in history. So, no, we can't prove Christianity today, but I still believe it's inside of us. And I think that God foreknew all of us when he started this whole thing. And I think in that respect, we are truly blessed to be called elect because he knew that those who believe were going to believe. And in that respect, he knew that you and I would believe. And that makes us very, very special. So if indeed God of creation called us and knew from his foreknowledge that we would believe, then whatever's going on today is nothing. Nothing. Because what we already have with the promise of the Holy Spirit, the earnest money, like you're buying a house, we have that Holy Spirit. We have proof. So these things we're studying about is contemporary, but I think also it just tells us how blessed we are that God in his foreknowledge has called us. So that's just a little summary there.
Okay. Thank you. Well, there we have it. And that reminds me, I just had this conversation with Karen, and this is what it boils down to, us knowing what the scriptures say and whether we believe these things or not. When Jesus was before Pilate, when he says that I came to bear witness to the truth, and Pilate answered Jesus, he says, what is truth? Jesus' truth wasn't Pilate's truth. So that's what you say is true. That's not what I say is true. So in this day, when the question is, what is truth? It's up to us as individuals, especially, to investigate these things, for us to be persuaded through the truth of Scripture that these things are so. And we can see it around us, but learning more and more should solidify our faith and not question it. So we're going to stop there and pick up again next week with a little more on the inheritance part of Noah and some other issues before we move on. So, Father, we thank you for today's study. We pray as we meditate on your word and continue to study your word that the truth of your word might impress more and more upon our hearts and minds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.